Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I
was, and just all this horrible stuff. And then you start reading history. Oh my gosh, worse. It was worse. I mean, it's like, so it never really been a really pleasant place outside of the Garden of Eden. You know, it hasn't been pleasant on planet Earth. And so we've always had it bad. And but I'm just thinking about what I see right now. I can't say anything about the past because I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't there when all this stuff happened. But I'm here now, right? I'm experiencing what's going on now. And now we always have certain plagues, some laboratory experiment that got loose, you know, like the bird flu, and then they had the SARS, and well, now we got coronavirus, right? And they want to rename it Cordy 19 or something. I don't know what it is, but so we got this thing that is basically designed to kill humans, and it's easy to transfer. It lives outside of the body. You can touch it. It works like hepatitis. So basically, you go and you touch a doorknob or you push a button on the elevator, and you wipe your eye, and you got it. That's it. It gets into the mucosal level, so you shake a hand, you got it. You take a deep breath when somebody sneezes because you have an airborne nuclei that stays in the air for hours. You got it. Okay? Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. God wrote the Bible.
Exactly. Man could not have, because it's a beyond man's capability to look into the future hundreds and thousands of years and to know exactly what's going to happen. That's what the Bible does. It prophesizes and then it fulfills prophecy. Yeah.
In the process of all that you just said, we still have our regular everyday murder.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking about that. Goodness gracious, yes.
People still going to restaurants, yes, churches, and all that.
We got this plague going around, but we've got a bigger plague, and that is just hatred. People are evil. I drive a school bus, and let me tell you, when you're on the road with people that are just aggressive, and angry and selfish. You know, they call it narcissistic when you only think about yourself. You can care less about anybody else. And Hollywood has created that with all these talk shows, reality shows. You know what I'm talking about. Talk shows too, but
just
reality shows that shows
Friday,
people.
Friday, man. Uh-huh. I was taking one of my guys that worked for me. I was taking him to the train station.
Yeah.
He got a call. His niece done called him. Some girl done followed off all the way from Irving to her house.
Yes.
She don't even know this woman.
Right.
And this woman ready to kill her.
Yeah, because she probably jumped in front of her. You know, not cut you off. I'm telling you, there could be a person a mile down the road, and I pull my car in front in their lane, right? They're a mile down the road. Yeah. They'll speed up 90 miles an hour to tailgate me, flip me off, jump in front of me, and got me. What is wrong? What spirit is going on? It's crazy. This is what we're dealing with. We got a murdering spirit. We got a spirit of just godlessness. And we have a whole mayhem, you know. Societies, and when we start reading the Old Testament, then you see that the children of God, you know, they follow God. God blesses them, right? Then they forget about God. And they forget to teach their children about God. And guess what happens? You have generations of godlessness, right? Then God comes down. He puts a smack down on them. And then they're like, okay, we're sorry. Oh, please forgive us. We'll worship you now. And they worship him, and he sends a leader, and he delivers them from the enemy. And then everything is good, the food is good, the prosperity of their hands increases, and God is protecting them and blessing them and everything. And then they forget God again.
Yeah.
They start worshiping idols. They forget to teach their kids about God. And then you have a generation that grows up that doesn't know God. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
They took God out of the church, okay, and we allow Satan to raise our kids. I mean, you look at the cartoons, you think they're wholesome, you think Disney's wholesome, you need to learn about who Walt Disney really was, okay? And he wasn't anybody you want to leave with your kids.
Uh-oh.
He is evil.
And
they have brainwashed our kids, brainwashed us with subliminal programming from that thing we call a television, TV, and radio, and Hollywood, and movies. All that stuff has made us violent in nature. The rap music, they when they had positive music, they took that away, kicked those guys out of the way, and they brought in these gangster rappers. Why? Because they want to fill up the prisons, which are corporations, you know, and they want to fill up the graves, and they want to send souls to hell. This is organized. This didn't happen this way. It's all organized.
Everybody got all these different ideals about God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And how you supposed to live? And none of it has nothing to do with the Bible.
Exactly.
Nothing to do. They don't hear the preachers say.
Exactly.
They don't hear the stuff out on TV say.
Yep. My pastor.
And they just believe in stuff. That ain't nothing.
That's it.
Nobody reads the Bible no more.
That's the problem. They're not reading for themselves. Because if you read the Bible, who's talking to you?
God.
Exactly. That's the thing. So you ain't got to hear from me. You know, it ain't about what I say to you.
What I need to find out is if you're telling me the truth.
Thank you. And how are you going to find that out?
By reading.
You got it.
Yourself.
You got it. And that's what they, like you said, that's what they won't do. The more holier than thou people. Oh, my pastor said, and my pastor this, and my pastor. It's whatever the pastor said.
Right.
Has nothing to do with what they've studied and what they've read.
God.
Exactly. So they listen to what a man says, and that becomes law. That's God's word to them. And that's what we're living at today. So you have people that don't know the word of God, that don't know God at all. I have kids. I used to ask them. I said, do y'all go to church? No. Do y'all know who Jesus is? No. Nobody. Our generation, didn't we as kids knew who Jesus was, who God was, and we definitely went to church whether we wanted to go or not. These kids don't go because their parents don't go. Okay? And their parents before them didn't go. That was the generation. That's how quickly it happens. And so you have kids that definitely don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about what is real. The superhero, I want to use, and we're just talking right now because it's a lot going on, wrestling, professional wrestling. You had a good guy and you had a bad guy.
Right.
The good guys were good, okay, and the bad guys were bad.
Right.
But now, guess what? The bad guys.
Everybody
bad. But they call them good, but they're bad. And so superheroes, they got this thing called, is it Spun or something, like some nasty demonic entity that took over a man's body. And all of a sudden, he's a good guy because he killed somebody that did something bad, but then he killed that person, you know. And so it's like these evil monster figures have becoming superheroes.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Everything's upside down. Everything's backwards. That's Satanism. It's upside down. It's backwards. Say the Lord's prayer, but say it backwards. Walk backwards.
Yeah.
And everything is good presented as bad. Everything's bad presented as good, right? And that's the society we're living in now. It is a demonic, satanic society, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. But what in order to keep us grounded, of course, we have to get in the Word of God. Job was a man that followed the Word of God, and the devil tried to break him by putting him through a lot of hard times, which a lot of us are going through, right? And so he took away all of his possessions, took away his kids, killed his kids, his wife sick when he got sores all over his body. Why don't you just curse God and die? His friends came, Bildad and Eliphaz, and I think even Elihu later on, the youngest one, Josaphat, and they all accused him of some secret sin.
Right.
They said, man, you got to be doing something bad.
Right.
You got to be something evil about you, or God wouldn't do that to you. And then Job had to explain to him the nature of God. And then we talk about the fact that in life, you'll have, just look at nature. Take man out of it. Look at nature. You got a big lion, right? And what prey do they go after? A big hungry lion. Who do they look at to go after? What animal do they go after? You got the weak ones, the baby ones. And we see it. We watch it on TV and we're like, no, run, gazelle, run, run, run. We don't want that lion to catch that gazelle, right? We feel sympathy for that gazelle. We don't want that little baby to get in the jaws of that lion and been eaten alive, you know, and then you see all these lions, you know, just crunching and ripping the flesh apart, and you're like, oh, that's just so unfair. That's what I want you to go back to. That's so unfair. You as a human, okay, have looked at a situation that happens in nature, and you have determined that that is unfair. And if it was up to you, you'd get a gun and blow that lion's brains out, right? And let that cute little animal go free, right? That's the way I thought.
But there's,
guess what?
But there's a thing today.
Uh-huh.
To where we don't say, no, gazelle, run. We go,
okay, that's the next, thanks for saying that, because unfortunately that is true. You're right. And that's how the society turned upside down. Exactly. We've been prone to violence. We're going to talk about that. What are some of the ways that we get to that way, and just so we'll be aware of it. But how many people, I mean, let's be honest, you've seen nature programs, and you see the big, huge animals go after the small, weaker ones, and you're rooting for the small ones to get away.
Sometimes.
Okay. You want the small ones, the big ones, to get away, and you have hatred towards those big old bully ones. And it just seems so unfair. How many of you, it just seems unfair that the big, huge, you know, okay. Well, guess what? Nature. Who created nature? You see, that's the whole bit when it comes to Bildad, Eliphaz first, Eliphaz, Bildad, Josaphat, and Elihu, his friends. They were looking at it from a human perspective. That's how they were judging Job. That ain't right, man. Okay, I'm looking at it from my eyes. I'm going to say that's God's way. I know a little bit about what God would say, and I'm going to speak for God. But I'm going to throw some man-made philosophy in there, too. And then what they were judging him, it was called an unrighteous judgment. So they were judging Job unrighteously. And we do that too. We question God. And that's the biggest mistake. That's where Job went wrong, is that he questioned God. He understood he was sitting there, he was worshiping him, he was upright. I'm offering sacrifices. I'm even offering sacrifices for my kids in case they cursed you, okay? I'm doing everything I give to the poor. Yes, I've got money, but I use that money to help the poor. I'm doing all these things. And he's like, I don't understand why this is happening to me. God, why are you? And then that was the question. Now we're questioning God. So then when God starts in Job 28, he's got to straighten him up. It's like, where were you? Okay?
Right.
When I formed this earth. Okay, so now we look at this earth as a very complex thing. And you have people that we don't understand how it's in orbit, okay, and how it rotates and why it was created a certain distance from the other opposite planets. And if they were too close, then, you know, it would be disaster on Earth. If we were too close to the sun, we would burn up. If we were too far away from the sun, we'd freeze. It just happens to be just right. Did evolution do that? All of a sudden, there was this matter that just happened to be there, and then it compressed and got small as the point of a needle. Then it exploded, and out of that explosion, you had some primordial goo on a rock that turned into an amoeba, that turned into a reptile, that turned into a mammal, that turned into man. Okay, please. So that's their explanation. And then a planet just happened to be made by this explosion, and the solar system, and it made the sun, and it made the moon, and it made the stars. I mean, you cannot believe that. You know, there is no way. It is just like, I said, it's just like having a Lamborghini outside, beautiful Lamborghini. And I told you, okay, I want somebody in here, I'll give you $100 if you can tell me how many years it took for evolution to create that Lamborghini. Anybody? And you're going to buy that, because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to teach you that evolution created that Lamborghini. The wheels were created by evolution, the motor inside, the electric components of it. Everything about it, the paint job that's on it, the bumper, you look at me like, what are you, crazier? What do you mean that the Lamborghini was created by an explosion? You're trying to tell me the human beings were created by an explosion? That all the reptiles, all the insects, all the diversity of life that we have on the planet was just created by an explosion? No, it's a creative design, right? So we know that God exists. He is so big, we can't understand it. We don't know how it was. So here is the God that created the whole universe. And we're going to look up and go, why are you? Wait a minute. What sort of brain do I have? Okay. I can't conceive. And that's what he's saying. Job, can you tell me why is it that you have water on the earth, but it's confined? The oceans are confined. They won't go any further. Okay. Who tells them to stop at a certain point? Okay. What force creates that? That ocean and that sea? What creates those lakes and those rivers? Okay? All these things that exist, the wind that blows, you know, in the direction that it blows, where does it come from? The hail, the snow, the rain. Who tells it the rain? Who tells it the thunder? Who controls all these things is what he's telling them. Can you explain it? I'm waiting. Explain it to me. So I can't explain it to God, but I dare to question God. And I'm right now punching my, you can't see it, but I'm punching myself in the face as I say that. Because I have been guilty, guilty, guilty of asking God why. I've been praying to get out of this situation. Why, God? Why? Eric, shut up. You don't have the capacity to know what God has in store. You cannot even fathom in your human brain, your small pea brain. You can't understand what God has in store and why he's doing what he's doing. I have to trust him and have faith in him. I have to look up and look at this marvelous creation. That's why everything exists. Why we sit marvel at the mountains and all the nature and this creation. Why? So that we can concentrate on him who created it, the creator. Right? That's what it brings glory to him when you see the beauty of nature and all these wonderful things. And it's like, wow. I mean, I look at the earth and then to know that heaven, we can't even fathom. It says, eyes have not seen. The mind cannot even conceive. We don't have the capacity to conceive what Christ has in store for us in heaven. I mean, I'm telling you that it blows me away. Because I can't conceive how he made this beautiful earth. I look at mountains. Have you been to mountains in Colorado and California? And all the red clay. Then you have the clouds. And just it's just nature and water. And when you're around the ocean, it's just beautiful, right? And God created all that. Beautiful animals. Beautiful, I mean, the birds. The birds of paradise. Have y'all seen the birds of paradise? Man, those birds, they are funny. But all the critters that God has created, all these beautiful creatures, including the best ones, we, the humans. Go ahead, brother.
In Isaiah 55 yes. and 8, in Isaiah 55 and 8, God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Amen.
Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord.
That's right.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your way, mm-hmm. and my thoughts higher than your thoughts."
That's Isaiah 58 and what?
58 and 8.
Starting with 8, okay.
Yeah, they say, "For as the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither."
Are you sure that's Isaiah 58? I'm trying to follow you and I don't see it.
It's Isaiah.
It says, "Then shall the light break forth as the morning."
Isaiah 55 and 8.
Oh, you said 55.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said 58. Okay.
And it says, "For as the rain coming down,
yes,
the snow from heaven, and returning not heaven,
there you
but
go.
Water the earth, and making it bring forth and bud, that it may give seeds to the soil, mm-hmm. and bread to the eater." God is so awesome, man.
Yes. Okay.
You can't understand why he do what he do.
Can't understand. How do we get apples?
On a tree.
Huh?
How do we get apples?
How do we get apples?
On a tree.
On a tree. How does a tree get there?
Huh?
From the seed. From the seed. How'd the seed get there? Isn't that weird? Okay, so it takes a seed.
Right.
In an apple to create a tree.
Right.
to create another apple. All right, chicken, what came first, right? Chicken or the egg, right? Okay, so the tree, I could see the tree coming, apple tree, creating apples with the seed in them. But the seed is the one that produces the tree. So did the seed come first? It couldn't, because the seed can't exist unless it's in the apple. But the apple can't exist unless there's a tree to produce it. I'm confused. Okay? So as a human, I'm confused. Let's go to the chicken and the egg. The chicken, okay, comes from an egg. All right, I can see that. I can see that egg developing into a chicken. That's good for me. But where'd the egg come from?
Where did that chicken come from?
But, okay, because you got to have a chicken.
Yeah, where did the first chicken
come from? In order to lay the egg, you got to have a rooster. Because that egg can be laid, right?
Right.
And if it ain't fertilized by the rooster, it ain't going to produce a chicken, a little baby chicken. And if evolution is true, so let's say evolution created the egg. Okay, this is where we're going to go. This is great. I'm going to rock with evolution now. Evolution created, it took billions of years for that egg to be created. And there it was, an egg. And the egg opened up, and there was a baby chicken. And the baby chicken just lived to be able to take care of itself, because we know baby chickens can take care of themselves, right? They can feed themselves and get water and all that stuff. Baby chicken couldn't do that. They'd be dead.
No.
They know the egg would crack open and the chicken would eventually die. I mean, it's like it ain't going to work. So there's no way around it. This is the God that created this for a reason. So there'd be no way that you can deny creative design.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
Man, it's so fascinating. But see, when we see all these things put in place, like the laws of nature, like the salmon, I can't ever say that right. What are the fish that swim upstream? Somebody
salmon.
Say that.
Salmon.
I don't know why I can't say that. I cannot say salmon. It never comes out right when I say it. That fish, when they're born in a certain area, then they swim away, they live their adult life, and something instinctively in them, before they die, they swim upstream back to the area, 10 minutes, thank you, brother, they swim back up to the stream in the area where they were born. How do they know that? How do the birds know to fly south when the winter comes? Who tells them to do that? How do they fly in formation? How do bumblebees and the... You know, still today with the technology that we have, we can't figure out how a bumblebee flies. His wings are too small, his body is too big, and physiologically he cannot fly. You're not supposed to fly. Why are you flying? Because God made him fly, right? God created him that way. There's so many mysteries and stuff like that, and we're still trying to... The pyramids of Egypt, I mean, let's go there. Till this day, with the technology we have right now, we can't do it. We can't rebuild the pyramids of Egypt. Can't do it. And the ones in, you know, in Mexico, Mesoamerica.
And one of the hardest things people can't really comprehend,
yeah,
is that all God did was spoken.
There you go. There you go.
That's all he did.
And if they
can't do it,
right,
then it can't be done.
So they just create this thing called evolution, which,
right,
means billions of years. But unfortunately, if everything wasn't created at the same time, guess what? It couldn't exist, because we all exist off of one another. Insects. You think you're going to have insects developing and then they don't have anything to eat? What are the insects going to eat? What are if there's no insects, what are the reptiles going to eat? It's always this, everything has to coexist. Viruses, bacteria. I mean, we live with viruses and bacteria all over us. Fungi. You know, you see these big old whales and swimming in the ocean, and they got these weird parasites all over them, feeding them. But you know what's necessary? That's how they remove things from them. It's like this whole system is put together. It's so unique and so fascinating. Like the human body, when you start studying the human body, anatomy and physiology, biology, how all that stuff works from a cellular level, microscopic level, microbiology, the whole bit. It's a whole world that we don't see. It's fascinating. And it's created by this marvelous God. And we have the audacity as human beings not knowing. We can't answer any question that God asks, but we're going to ask him a question. Yes.
Yeah. I want to the force of astronomy.
Yes.
It's kind of hard for me to pass that course without being
creation. Exactly. I understand. I had to do the same thing in philosophy. I studied philosophy, and the teacher hated Christians. He thought we were stupid and ignorant, and we believe in Santa Claus, and he was trying to redeem all of us Christians from our ignorance. But I still made a B in that class, right?
I made a B.
It's hard to swallow that stuff, but I want to go. And I'm sorry to go off path like that, but it just seems like there's so much going on, and it's very technical. In verse 6, and this is Job chapter 28, in verse 38, excuse me. Whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? Talking about the earth. How does it continue to revolve in the immensity of space? Can you explain this, Job? What supports it? What supports earth? What keeps it from dropping? Tell me that. I'm waiting, Job. I'm waiting, right? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, this refers to some intelligent beings who existed before creation, the sons of God, the morning stars, the angelic host. In verse 8, it says, who shuts up the sea with the doors? And then we talked about that the seas are gathered together, but they stop at a certain point. Who shuts them up? Who tells them not to go any further? Okay? Who did that? When it breaks forth, as if it had issued out of a womb, you know, coming forth out of a woman's womb. This is a very fine metaphor. The sea is represented as a newly born infant, ensuring that ensuing from the womb of the woman. And then in verse 9 it says, when I make the clouds thy garment, alluding to the cloth in which the newborn infant is first conceived. And so you have this world that's first conceived, and you have the beautiful covering of the beautiful clouds. Who put that up there? Who's the one that did that? God did that, right?
God did.
And then he goes on to verse 10, and we'll be wrapping up here. I just want to, we'll probably start with verse 12. In verse 10, the breakup, if it be decreed in a place, the reference to the decree in Genesis 1 and 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. So we have waters, but then there's waters above, right? There's waters below. And then what they're finding out now in the oceans, thank you, 5 minutes, there's water underneath the ocean. More water underneath than it is on top. Now, they'll teach today that, we're going to lose all the water, and you got to preserve the water, right? We're running out. We got 7 billion people on the planet. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough water, which is not true.
No.
There's a lot behind that don't have time to go into, but there's a reason they put that lie forward. But God has enough water, there's more water than we see underneath the earth. And when the flood happened, that's where it came from, underneath the water, right? It rained from both the top and the bottom. And so we find that out from reading the book of Genesis. So verse 11, hitherto shall thou come. It says, thus far shall the flux extend. The tides are marvelously limited and regulated by the lunar and solar attractions. So you have water, the oceans, that are a magnetic pool. And so a lot of these currents are controlled by the position of the moon, and the sun. So all these things are put in place. It can't be a denying the fact that without the moon, we couldn't exist. Without the sun, we could not exist. And then the oceans and these we have the tides, and they're going in there, and it's creating oxygen, and all this oxygen is feeding the life underneath the ocean so that we can be able to eat, the food in the ocean, the fish and shrimp and all the stuff there. So everything that exists in nature is there for a reason. Every insect exists for a reason. Every reptile, every animal, snakes exist for a reason, right? I used to say, man, I hate snakes, poisonous snakes. God, why'd you make snakes, right? Rattlesnakes with poison that kills people, bites people, and eats them. We don't need them. You can keep the snakes that don't bite, that don't have venom, but we need those rattlesnakes. Let's kill all the rattlesnakes, right? What happens if we kill all the rattlesnakes? What nasty little critter that if they are allowed to breed uncontrollably would destroy all of humanity do rattlesnakes eat? You got it, them nasty rats. Do you want to live in a world where rats dominate? Cockroaches dominate? So when you get rid of one, you say, as a man, I'm like, let's get rid of the rattlesnakes and all the venomous snakes. I'm smart. And then all of a sudden, it's overrun, because we've done it before in the past. We're overrun by rats.
Yep.
Because God himself is the one that has that intelligence that knows why everything exists, not man. And so again, Eric, don't you dare go, God, why? Why did you... I want to eradicate that from my vocabulary for the rest of my life. I literally want to punch myself in the face whenever I do that. That's right. You got it. It's that balance. And that's that wisdom and knowledge far beyond mankind is how he was able to do all of that. We still can't explain it, right?
Learn to accept that.
You got it. Learn to accept. That's what Job did. He learned to accept it the way it is because it's God's way instead of questioning. But that's the mistake he made, and that's why God is going to straighten him out. Yes. We'll start here.
It was the same way with my life at one time. I just got to say this.
Okay.
It was the same way with my life. I couldn't accept the way things were.
Right.
I got high.
Yes.
And it caused me to get high.
Yeah.
And it messed my life up real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when I learned, I asked God to deliver me, and God, I learned to accept things the way they are. My life is much better.
There you go.
I don't worry about nothing no more.
That's the way I do it right now. I'm putting in God's hand. I'm leaving alone. I'm not going to question anymore because I don't want to get, you know, in trouble. All right, middle section. We got 1 minute left. Any questions or comments? My left-hand section. All right. I'm opening up to all three sections. If not, may God add a blessing.
God made it all.
God made it all, exactly. Okay, so this, when we're going through, we'll start at verse 12, and then we'll just continue from there. But what we're looking at is God straightening Job out, trying to open up his mind about how complex this world, this universe is, and the fact that he's the one that designed it. And if you don't, you can't answer the question, because he didn't ask. Job asked a lot of questions. He didn't answer Job's questions.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say, oh, Job, well, you ask about this, so let me tell you, Job. Because Job's little peon brain can't understand and comprehend it anyway.
Right.
Our peon brain can't understand it.
Right.
So what he answered Job with is a question. Okay, Job, can you tell me, were you here when the earth was created? Who was here when the earth was created? Who saw it took place? Who could explain how a God can speak and then things just appear? Explain it, you know. How did he know? Where's that knowledge come from? Where he get his knowledge from? Where God come from? Now your brain explodes at that point, right? Chicken, you know, the egg before, you know, chicken before the egg, you know, that's okay. But man, where'd God come from? So we have to live in faith that I am Alpha and Omega. Nothing before me, nothing after me, or your head will explode trying to figure that out, right?
Right.
Like
it
so many things. That is true. All right, may God add a blessing to the study and the reading of his word. God bless you all. All right.